Rio.
Everybody has a Zohar. Alec's not even here.
He's not even here. There he is. Right, this is for him. Right? So you knew right away. You got it right away. Okay. So, the question is, what should we be doing on Mondays? So I don't know if we figured it out definitively or not, but Shua told me Parshas HaShavua. You know, it sounded so bland, you know. But then I remembered that I'm just joking.
I voted for my summer cup.
So then Ellie told me that he was voting for a while back. Ellie criticized me very harshly came to my office, and he was almost brutal. And he said to me, "How come we never discuss Zohar or Likutei Zohar or Torah Sanistar?" Right. So I took it very. What's that?
My brother-in-law is a neo-chassid.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know whether there's any advantage of being a neo-chassid, frankly. But if you're going to be a chassid, you might as well just be a chassid. But then I explained to him that the Zohar was very, very dear to my heart because my great-grandfather, translated the Zohar into Hebrew. And I think he was the first person to do it comprehensively. Anyway, to do it in across the whole spectrum.
Actually,
the Zohar.
I actually saw Rebbe's Zaidi's Sefer. It was cited in a footnote in one of those race farm.
Which one? Yad Sadarim. That's the Kolomar Sefer.
Yeah.
The same author.
And then it was in the green one.
Right. He's very famous in many miktzos haTorah, let's say. And Miktzos HaSifrut as well. But anyway, so I took the criticism very seriously, but then I still had, Shua to consider. So I thought we would try to combine both of them. So we'll see. Anyways, so let me just talk about the first pasuk. I know, but ongoing. But the Torah begins, with the pasuk, Bereshis bara Elokim, Eis HaShamayim Eis HaAretz, as we know. It begins with the beginning, and mostly, beginning with the beginning is a very reasonable thing, very reasonable thing to do. But as we know, the first Rashi, Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo yatzarich lahatkel asator ela mei hakodesh hazeh lachem, shehi mitzvah rishonah shenitzavu Yisrael, ma tam pasach bebereishis, mishum koach masav higid la'amo, laseisam nachlas goyim, shem yomer ha'umos, right, to Yisrael, listem atem shekivashtem harotzos shiva goyim, right, heim romer lahem, kol ha'aretz shalei kodesh baruch hu, hu b'ra'av, hu nesana l'chol asher yashar be'inav, b'rtzono nesana lahem, b'rtzono natla mehem, v'nasnu lam. So that's the first pasuk, the first Rashi, and already the Ramban is very disturbed by the question. Again, the Zionists, and all of us really appreciate where Rashi is coming from, right? That the Torah passes over apparently a better beginning, right? Just to establish the centrality and the rights that we have, the sovereignty that we have over Eretz Yisrael. That's a remarkable thing when you think about it. Again, this is, mother's milk. We all grow up on the first Rashi, and like the author of the Mesilas Yesharim says, the things that become so familiar to you sometimes take them for granted because of their familiarity. So instead of thinking about them and their implications, the first Rashi, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, but it's a shocking thing. There are several important implications in this Rashi. One is the question, which is why wouldn't you think, if I had asked anybody like where should the Torah begin, they probably would have said, you begin from the beginning, from the Bria, from Bereshis bara Elokim. Rashi's assuming that there's a better place to begin. That in itself needs to be understood and fleshed out on two levels. Number one, it implies that you could substitute for Bereshis bara Elokim for this Parsha, and it also implies that the alternative is better, meaning HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. And I think I've spoken about that aspect of this in the past, and I don't want to dwell on that right now. In other words, the idea that number one, that's what we are going to speak about. Well, you know, is it important to zero in on what seems to be both a more universal, as opposed to a Klal Yisrael orientation, and a more scientific, as opposed to a more a mitzvah or halakha oriented beginning, or maybe again the pull for Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, as I've suggested in the past, is there are multiple, maybe overlapping elements. Number one, mitzvos and Torah. Number two, the tzibur, right? Because there are other mitzvos before Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, but it's really tzibur oriented. But it's not just the first mitzvah, the tzibur, but as we discussed, those who were here last year, we talked about Sanhedrin. That's kind of also the overlap with Eretz Yisrael in a way, right? That HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, Kiddush HaKodesh, really belongs to the Klal Yisrael as an organic unit. So it isn't just given to the Rabbim, it's where you have representatives of the Rabbim, right, whose status comes only by virtue of the fact that they do that. And in addition to that, I think this is also not a coincidence, is that it's where the, and we'll get back to this for today too, it's where the what I call the junior partnership between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbono Shel Olam really gets expressed in a very powerful way, because they get to pronounce the new moon. And that, of course, has impact in halacha, even in the area of Kedusha, Mikra Kodesh, in terms of defining the holidays by defining the Chadashim. But it also implies a partnership in time itself, right? One would have thought that time would be the Rabbono Shel Olam's prerogative. And numerous of the Mefarshim at the beginning of Bereishis, like the Sfarno's first words, a little bit the Ramban in the Hemshech, but is like, that this is a creation which is also the creation of time. That first moment was Bilti Mechulak. That only the Rabbono Shel Olam can do that. Time is something which we can't even understand. The idea that Klal Yisrael could have a role in the calendar, in some sense. I'm sorry, yeah? Do you want to add something?
Yeah. Yeah, it says in the halachic command, the Rav talks about partnership with the Rabbono Shel Olam. But there it seems to be more broad, like that the generally implementing halacha are building these ideal systems of partnership, not exclusively certain mitzvot. Right,
I think that it is broad, but I think this is. He's not saying what I'm saying here, but I think what I'm saying here is a good framework for what he's saying there. In other words, this is an example where, in a very ambitious way, both in terms of time as a phenomenon, which one would have thought would certainly be beyond man's comprehension, beyond his sovereignty at least, or jurisdiction, and the kind of impact that it has on the holidays, which aren't just holidays, they're not just particular mitzvahs, they represent, as we've discussed, prior to the holidays, each one is a different, accentuation of a focus in Avodas Hashem. So it's almost like you're saying that, Klal Yisrael, is a partner in that, too, in the theme, in the Rosh Hashanah, a perspective on Avodas Hashem, in the Yom Kippur perspective in Avodas Hashem, in the Sukkos, perspective in Avodas Hashem, and so on. And it's, again, Atem Afilu Mezidim, Afilu Shogin first, but then Afilu, Afilu Onusim first, then Afilu Shogin, and then Afilu Mezidim. So the idea that, on the one hand, we have a role to play and an assertive role, although, again, shouldn't be overstated either. There are only 2 days that are candidates for Kiddush HaKodesh, and there are procedures and protocols. But it's a great example of following and being part of the system, giving you, and I'm going to get back to this, the capacity and also the obligation, to take an active part in it. Now, once you have that, so then the rest of it, which we'll also expand on, which the Rav does expand on, in Ishalacha, and I'll mention Ishalacha in just a couple of minutes, more fully, that I think that's an aspect, too. But the point I'm trying to make is, by the way, the Eretz Yisrael aspect, which Rashi is substituting for that, that's Rashi was doing 2 things at the same time, right? Or 3 things at the same time. Right? On the one hand, he seemed to be downplaying a little bit, Bria Shemayim Va'aretz, as a, not as a factor that is necessary, but as something that should be focused on and projected centrally in the Torah, or at least, you know, primarily in the Torah. Number two is the alternative of HaKadosh HaZeh Lachem, which I'm suggesting overlapping, you know, various reasons, you know, to be zeroing in on. It might even be the difference between Brias Shemayim Va'aretz and Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we know is a leitmotif, you know, also, particularly for the Ramban, which is ironic, which we'll get to in a second. But these other elements. And then there's the third Kiddush of the Rashi, and that's the one I mentioned before, the Zionist Kiddush. But it isn't political Zionism, it's, you know, religious Zionism. Meaning that somehow, you know, asserting our rights to Eretz Yisrael is worth this better alternative. Now you could say, oh, because Bereishis Bara isn't such a bad, maybe it's just like a small margin, you know, in which, you know, we would have given the nod to, you know, maybe it was like a 60-40 call or 55, you know, 45 call, and, you know, the Eretz Yisrael factor just puts it over the top. It could be. I think more likely, the idea of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael isn't just viewed in a narrow way. That, too, is a crucial aspect, both in the halachocentrism, which is part of Rashi's discussion. The only place where you can really fulfill all of the mitzvos, you know, is in Eretz Yisrael. And that's not just a quantitative statement. It's a double qualitative statement, right? Number one, because when you can do all of them, so then, you know, like other important things, you know, the whole is more than the sum of its parts. So there's a certain, you know, balance and you know, the comprehensiveness of it, you know, contributes, you know, to everything else. So there is that. But in addition to that is, of course, the famous Sifrei and Parshas Eikev that Rashi and the Ramban quote, and that other people really, really struggle with, right? The idea that seems to be that even, you know, mitzvos that apply in Chutz La'aretz are different in Eretz Yisrael. Again, and that there's some sort of chinuch going on. Again, my view on that is that it's in Parshas V'hayim Shamoa, which, as Rashi and the Medrash point out, is the Lashon Rabim equivalent of Shema. It's the way of saying, and this is something we spoke about last year in Sanhedrin, we were talking about Smicha Be'eretz Yisrael and Kiddush HaKodesh and Egla Rufa and all these other things, but it's the Torah's way of saying that that's the second qualitative element. Not only you can have everything here, but everything that you have here, because it's the national headquarters of the Jewish people, is related to not only as a Chofas Yachid, but as a Chofas Yachid within, you know, the Chofas Tzibor. And that's why it's in Parshas Vayim Shemoa. So, and again, that makes it also a good substitution for HaKadosh HaZeh Lachem, because in a way, what you're substituting is one, you know, theme of the role of the Tzibor in Halacha for another. Anyways, that aside, having said all of that, it still remains tamua a little bit that that Rashi, or that the Medrash, Rabbi Yitzchak, would have thought that... you know, that we, you know, that we would start only, you know, with Bereishis. That we wouldn't start with Bereishis, we'd start with Eretz Yisrael. Is there some way to maybe also suggest for Rashi, for Medrash, or just in general, that in addition to all the things I just said, the Eretz Yisrael factor and the right to Eretz Yisrael is something which, you know, is not only a good substitute for HaKadosh HaZeh Lachem, both internally and externally, but also is a terrific expression of the importance of Bereishis. That's not just in the narrow sense of, well, he created it, he can give it to whoever he wants, you know, leave us alone, we have our rights. But what is it they used to say, you know, Balfour Declaration is not our Bible, our Bible is our Balfour Declaration, or something like that. I'm not good at pithy things. But somebody said that. You know, not only that, but maybe, you know, this idea itself is something that accentuates an element of, you know, the record of the Bria, you know, which makes it a perfect beginning. That's what I'm going to try to get to. If you give me a couple minutes. So either way, Rashi is very... Again, there are those who have suggested that, you know, the Ashkenazic, you know, halacha-centric, or the downplaying, let's say, of other things, as opposed to, you know, the cultures of Babel, you know, and the Gaonim and Spain and so on, is, you know, part of this story, maybe. I think that's an overstated distinction, even though it has certainly authentic roots, but I think it's overstated a little bit, and, you know, recent Jewish historical consensus also thinks that it's been a little bit overstated. Either way, Rashi raises important questions. The Ramban, as I say, asks some of these questions in a very pithy manner, but I think what he says is also very fascinating. V'yesh lishol ba, ki tzorach gadol hu lahashkil ha-Torah b'bereishis bara Elokim. And by the way, it's not as if the Ramban, you know, was less Zionistic, you know, than Rashi. You know, I don't mean it literally, but there's no bigger promoter of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in mitzvos in general than the Ramban, as we know. Ki chelak Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachal aso. Right, the whole, it's a leitmotif in the whole Ramban that, you know, that Eretz Yisrael is both in, you know, Sefer Mitzvos, where he counts mitzvahs Yishuv Haaretz, and throughout his Perush Al HaTorah, and his comments in the beginning of Gittin, and his comments in the beginning of Megillah, you know, where he talks about Chibas Haaretz being separate from Kedushos, even when it doesn't affect Mitzvot HaTluyos Baaretz, there's, you know, a concept of Chefza Shel Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in a different way. It's a very big theme in the Ramban. The mitzvah of Yeshiva Ba'aretz is even bizman when there's no mitzvah satluyas Ba'aretz. Again, for the Ramban, Eretz Yisrael, and also in his actual life, as we know, was certainly not less central. Halachocentrism was certainly not less central either. Again, we all know who the Ramban was and what his contribution was. You know, we're Zochet, you know, to visit his views together with Rashi's, you know, every single day practically. So the Ramban's, you know, asking this question was more out of, you know, disbelief that you could bypass the Bria, not because he held, you know, in lower esteem the values of Eretz Yisrael or the values of halachocentrism, or the value of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Again, who more than the Ramban, you know, thought that Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, as opposed even to, you know, Zecher Lebrias Shamayim Va'aretz, is a crucial factor. I mean, the Ramban's famous comments in Parshas, the end of Parshas Bo, and in Yisro, again, every time he speaks about Shabbos, right, the Ramban is the one who, more than any other Rishon, I would say, penetrated the idea into, you know, into the minds and hearts of Klal Yisrael, in terms of the Rishonim, that Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, right, is, you know, an upgrade from Brias Shemayim Baaretz in many respects, and that's why, you know, it's with us all the time. It's the source for Yediyah and Hashgacha. You know, it shares with Brias Shemayim Baaretz the source of being a basis for Mitzios Hashem. I say the Ramban believes this very, very strongly. So that's not why he's making these comments. V'yesh lishol ki tzorach gadol hu l'hatchal Torah b'bereishis bara Elokim. But what is the reason for the comment? So he says something very remarkable. Ki hu shoresh ha'emuna v'she'eno mamin bazeh v'choshev sha'olam kadmon who kofer beikar the elo Torah klal. Then he gives his tshuva, which is that you can't get so much. There's a lot of obscurity in the Torah's presentation of Bereishis, and therefore, you know, maybe, you know, despite the fact that it is such an important linchpin, right? It still might have been better to start elsewhere, and then maybe all the other things that I said, which are some of which are even more accentuated in the Ramban than they even are in Rashi, you know, kick it. But I want to zero in is what did the Ramban mean when he was initially formulated, Kik Shoresh HaEmuna, v'she'enu mamin b'zeh v'choshev she'olam kadmon hu kofer v'ikar v'ein lo Torah klal. That seems also to be a little bit of an overstatement or an exaggeration. It's one thing to say you should begin with Bereishis Bara Elokim, because that you begin at the beginning. And it's also true that Ashamayim Masaprim Kivod Kel, Masayadav, you know, Magid Harakia, that, you know, that science, that the, you know, physical world, understanding how it came about, its intricacy, these are also an important source of Avodas Hashem. But Shoresh Hoemuna and Mishena Mamad Bazevachoshev Sholem Kamu Kofu Beikar Beinla Torah Klal, that sounds a little bit strong. Now the Ramban does say the same thing in his discussion in Parshas Yisro, I believe, where he talks about Shabbos. He talks about, again, Shabbos being Zeichel Maisa Bereishis, and Bereishis itself being a source, the source of Amunah. What does the Ramban mean by that, or what is meant by that, I think is an interesting question. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos in Chelek, going back to, I guess, last year's, the end of last year's Monday discussions. So if we know the Rambam has Yud Gimel Ikare Emuna, right, the Yisod HaRevi, I will say that in other contexts, let me say it this way, in other contexts, for example, in Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam mentions the Bria and certainly thinks that nature is an important source for Avodas Hashem and for Avas Hashem. That's what the Rambam says in Perek Beis of Zisoni HaTorah, Halacha Aleph and Beis. I've mentioned in the past that Sefer Mitzvos, of course, is a known issue. And in Sefer Mitzvos, when he talks about Avas Hashem, he talks about Torah Hashem, Torah Mitzvos. And in Zisoni HaTorah, he speaks about the Bria, talks about the physical world. Maisa Bereishis, as opposed to Maisa Makaba. So the Rambam begins Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah with Maisa Bereishis also. But the Rambam in Yad HaChazakah does not mention that Maisa Bereishis, right, is a critical linchpin in Amunah. And in Mor Nebuchim, he has some very famous discussion there where he talks about whether Yesh Me'ayin or Aristotelian, right, eternity of the universe. And he goes back and forth. He quotes Aristotle's view. The Rambam had a very controversial comment where he says, if I had been philosophically convinced that Aristotle's proofs, you know, really demonstrated the eternity of the universe, so he said, I would have read the Psukim at the beginning of Bereishis differently. I've mentioned this in the past. That statement that the Rambam makes in Mor Nebuchim became very controversial, I think a little bit unfairly. People took it to mean that, like, you know, if you prove it to me scientifically, then I will, you know, turn my back on the psukim, on the religious evidence. Not what the Rambam said. It's not what he ever would have said. What he really said is, you know, what I often like to call, you know, is a more sophisticated view of pshat. You know, what's pshat and what's a contortion, and which is totally consistent also, as it happens, with his hakdama to the Yud Gimel Ikarim, that's something that we did last year a lot, we were talking about it, Divrei Agada, and with what he says elsewhere, which is that there are psukim, and certainly chazals, some of them are, you know, mostly pshuto shel mikra, you take them at face value, and others need to be understood in a symbolic way. That's not a contortion, it's not a game. What dictates that? The answer is the evidence and the counter-evidence. And, you know, it's here where I like to quote Sherlock Holmes a lot. And that is that evidence or your assessment of what is the simple pshat is always a function of the other possibilities. And that when you do eliminate, right, things that are the alternative, and all that remains, you know, is improbable, you know, but that's all that remains, then that is, you know, to half-quote Sherlock, the truth. So what the Rambam was really saying was that if I was convinced that Aristotle, you know, demonstrated the eternity of matter, and therefore the eternity of universe, then I would have understood the psukim in Bereishis. I wouldn't have said that they weren't binding, chas v'shalom, because religious belief is more important than philosophical inquiry, even for the Rambam. But what I would have said is that the only way to understand them, the pshat in understanding them, is in a more allegorical or symbolic way. But since Aristotle didn't prove it, so we should go with the pshuto shel mikra in understanding what the psukim are trying to convey. And that is very consistent with the Rambam, and it's really not so controversial, given the background, at all. So the Rambam does conclude in Mor Nebuchim. Again, there's some discussion about this among, you know, Mor Nebuchim interpreters. Again, without going into too much detail, you know, the Rambam opened himself up by being honest to, you know, a lot of second-guessing in Mor Nebuchim. He says that sometimes, you know, he presents things, you know, in a deceptive manner in terms of his real view, and that there are, like, clues. So you can just imagine, you know, what that, you know, stimulated. So everybody's always looking, like, you know, but there are some people whose view is, anytime the Rambam says something clearly, you know, it's obviously that he means the opposite. You know, we'll call that the Straussian school. I'm being a little bit harsh, but not so harsh. The Leo Straussian school of University of Chicago. But it goes back way before that, in terms of some of the earlier Mefarshim of the Rambam, who were very much criticized by the more mainstream. The more reasonable view is that here and there, very rarely, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the Rambam, you know, either felt that there was more flexibility on certain issues than he, you know, apparently indicates in Mor Nebuchim, or here and there, you know, again, for the sake of emunah or other things, you know, he took, you know, a more conservative position, but felt the other position might be more accurate, but rare. And it's hard to, you know, when you don't really second guess him. So this is one of those issues where, like, you know, the more, you know, there are people who think that the Rambam really believed in the eternity of matter, but if you read the Mor Nebuchim clearly, carefully and clearly, it's pretty clear that he's unequivocal about rejecting that view. But he didn't dismiss it in theory, put it that way. So that is an interesting issue. You'll see why I'm building this in a moment. What is also interesting is that the Rambam does, again, so in Mor Nebuchim, the whole discussion is a discussion, and it emerges, I think, with pretty sufficient clarity what his view is, but that doesn't eliminate, you know, the reality that he weighed, you know, and even made that statement, which I totally understand and don't lose any sleep over at all, but still it's an indication that he felt that within the parameters of possible was the possibility of eternity of matter. In Mishnah Torah, mostly, while he discusses a lot the, you know, Maisa Bereishis, and again, in the beginning of Hilchos Aliyot Torah, certainly, he doesn't make it into like an Ikar Emuna. In the Ikar Emuna of Pirushim Shnayis, the beginning of Chelek, there is the Yesod Arevi, which is Hakadmus, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is, you know, no one is earlier than him, or he's the original being of the universe. Shezeh Ha'echad Ha'amur Hu Hakadmon Behechleit, this is the Yesod Arevi. B'chol Nimtza Zulaso Hu Bilti Kadmon B'yachas Eilav. It's an interesting formulation, right? Anything else relative to the Ribbono Shel Olam is Bilti Kadmon, is not the earliest being or existent form. V'haraya salzeh b'svarim hein rabos. Okay. So I would have thought that he would have just said, says Bereishis bar Elokim, esa shamayim esa aretz. Right? But he doesn't. Instead he picks not the first words of the Torah, but from the very end of the Torah, which we just read. V'yisod arvi hazeh hu shahora alav b'amro ma'ona elokei kedem. Right? So that's interesting. Go to the very end of the Torah to get your main proof text. I think this is consistent with the fact that in Mor Nebuchim, right, he's kind of saying that, you know, you could have read the psukim in different ways, and I'm reading them one way, but I'm still acknowledging that they could have been read differently. And then, this is how Pirush Mishnayos ends, just for a second, in Madura Kama, it's still basically, philosophically, maybe saying it, because we're saying that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the, you know, the existent Kadmon Behechle. But then he goes on in the Madura Basra, which was written after the Morabuch, and it says, Veda, ki ha'yisoda gadol shel Toras Moshe Rabbeinu, hu sheha olam hu mechudash, right? Yitzaro Hashem, ubera'o achar haheder hamuchlat, meaning yesh me'ayin, v'ze sha'ata ro'eh osim makif et ha'inyan kadmuto lefi dat ha'pilosofim, כדי להחליט את המופת על מציאותו יתעלה, כמו שביארתי והבהרתי במורה. Referring to his discussion in Mor Nebuchim. This is the later comment that he made when he revised Pirush Mishnayos. So it sounds like in the earlier version, he's not necessarily identifying the reality of the Ribbono Shel Olam being Kadmon with Yesh Me'ayin necessarily. And now he's saying, yeah, and now that I've made it clear in Mor Nebuchim that I'm siding with the Yesh Me'ayin, and that's really the Torah view, so that, of course, makes this even clearer. But what's fascinating about the Rambam, and I'll take your question in one more second, is that it's a theological, he basically says, and the reason this is so important to me is because it's theologically important, right, for demonstrating the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence. Yeah, before I elaborate, we're good? So far. We're getting to the Zohar. That you read for his hand saying,
yeah.
When are we getting to the Zohar?
Yeah.
And we'll go get them. Okay. So, right. So that is very fascinating. So then, in light of that, is that what the Ramban means? When the Ramban says that, you know, Vitzorach Gadolhu, because it's the source of Emuna, right? And then he says, and if not, you're a kofar bi'ikar, right? And ein lo Torah klal, does he just mean what the kind of the Rama means in Pirush Mishnayos, which is that this is the basis for Emunah. And indeed, it would certainly work in nicely with, again, the Ramban's comments about Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? And why it is that we say, Anokha Shemal Kecha Shor Tzaycicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, and again, in the end of Parshas Bo, and why we keep, you know, elaborating again and again, or referencing again and again, right, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the Ramban basically says, well, from Bereishis, we know of the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? But the idea that he's a Yodea, and that he is also a Mashgiach, right, that he has, you know, continued knowledge of the world, and that he intervenes, that we don't necessarily know from Bereishis, right? But we do know it from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So is that all the Ramban's saying here? That, of course, you have to start with Bereishis, because that's the source of Emuna. And, you know, maybe. I don't think that accounts sufficiently for, the Ein Lo Chelek B'Torah Klal, which seems to be an additional comment or a more emphatic comment than Kofar B'Ikar and Shoresh Emuna. Moreover, again, if the alternative is to begin with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, which is a Yetzias Mitzrayim context, and all that we're gaining from, you know, Bereishis is the idea of Emuna, so don't we have Emuna and Yediya and Hashgacha, according to the Ramban himself, in these other contexts? So I'm a little bit intrigued. Right? I think that the Ramban is saying something bigger here. So I just wanted to bring in two comments of the Zohar and then another comment of Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch. Right, as a suggestion, just to elaborate this or to explain a little better why Bereishis is so indispensable, possibly according to the Ramban. Yeah.
I mean, for the Ramban thinks that Yitzhak Mitzrayim is important because he's a raya of Parashasism. You can't do that. You can't do it without Parashasism as an anchor.
Maybe. There are different formulations of that. I think when we did Shabbos, when we were doing all these Rambans, right. Some places he says that it's a raya for a break for Bereishis, and sometimes he makes it sound like even independently, you would know, you know, from Yetzias Mitzrayim that, you know, the Emunah part, you just wouldn't know the other. That's the over. Sometimes he makes it seem that it reinforces it, but it also has it on its own. You know, those pieces are to explain, especially in Shabbos, and especially in the second rendition of the Aseres HaDibros, right? Why we, you know, is it Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim or is it Zeichel Maisa, you know, Bereishis? So I just think there are different formulations in the Ramban, all the Torah, regarding that issue. But if you take that one exclusively, then inachana. Okay. So I wanted to bring this. Now this is a little bit out of order. Again, with the this is the translation, but I can read it from the original, whatever. But what he did was
from
what?
From Rabbi Zaidi.
From my great grandfather. Yeah. So what he did was he collected the Zohars throughout the whole work, and he put them to the Psukim of the Parsha. Some of them are in the Parsha, and some of them are not in the Parsha, right? So, but some of them are very fascinating. And again, I had to like answer Ellie's charge. So, yeah. So there are two interesting Zohars that I wanted to bring to your attention. Both of which, the one of which I think is very famous, and the other very, very famous, and the other one which is less so. The one that's less famous is the one that comes from one second, make sure I'm getting the right one. The one that's less famous, I think, is from Parshas Bahaloska. And it reads as follows. Yeah. This is, again, Bahaloska. Comes from Parshas Bahaloska. Omer Rabbi Elazar. Kama chavidin hein divrei Torah. No. Wrong one. Sorry. One second. See, that's the problem. Oh, here it is. Okay. Posach Rab Shimon. This one is... Oh, I guess it's from. It is from Bereishis. Pasuk Rab Shimon Binyani Mitzvah Torah V'Omar Mitzvah Torah Shanasan Hakadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. I'm reading the Hebrew translation. We can read that. Kulan Bederech Klal Nichtuva BaTorah Bereishis Bara Elokim Zui Mitzvah Harishona LeChol HaMitzvos VeNikras Mitzvah Zu Yiras Hashem SheNikra Reishis SheKasuv. Have to stop soon. Reishis Chachma. Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, Reishis Das. V'zehu Hashar Likanes Tocha Emuna V'al Mitzvazu Miskayim Kola Olam. Then he goes on to say, basically what is he saying? That the word Bereishis, again if you want to hear the real original, it's Bereishis Bar Lukim Hada Hipkuda Kadma Dekula, right? The ikri pekuda da yiras Hashem, the ikri reishis, the tziv reishis chachma yiras Hashem reishis das. Begin the mila da reishis ikri, the da ihu tara shar right la Allah go mehemenusa to be ola in emuna. The pekuda da itkayim kol alma. That's the original language. So this, of course, is very fascinating. Just as a pshat, the first words of the Torah speak about Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. That the word Bereishis means, well, we're familiar with Rashi and the Medrash, Bishvila Torah Shenikra Reishis. This pshat is Reishis Bara Elokim. That the basis for understanding the Rabbonu Shel Olam is Yiras Shamayim. He goes on to say there are three types of Yiras Shamayim. Right, Yiras Onesh, Yiras and so on. But the Yira, of course, which is the one that we're talking about, is the Yira, which is the Yiras Aromamus, right? Appreciating the you know the fullness of the Rabbon Shalom. And that, of course, is partially brought about by the Bria. In a way, this Zohar is very akin. I'm not suggesting any connection whatsoever. Two different worlds. What the Rambam says in Perek Beis Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Halacha Aleph, and especially Halacha Aleph and Beis, is that Yiras Shamayim, right, flows from a contemplation of the Bria, right, and then that creates Ava, and then the Ava intensifies the Yira, and then the Yira intensifies the Ava even more, and so on and so on and so on. That's the Rambam. I've mentioned in the past that the Rambam treats Yira and Ava together. He doesn't treat them separately. Perk Beis, Halacha Aleph is Ezehu Yiraso ve'ezehu Avaso, and Halacha Beis is the description of Yiraso ve'avaso, as opposed to doing Yira and doing Ava, you know, separately. So in a way, that also is what this passage in the Zohar is saying. Just that it's saying that's what the words Bereishis. Bereishis, Bara Elokim es Hashamayim ves Haaretz. And that is the Shar Ho'emuna. And that gives way to Mitzvah Shniyah, the Mitzvah Sayira Nechezes Ba, the Eino Yotzeis Mimenu Le'olam, the Mitzvah Ha'ava, Sha'adam Tarech Le'ahov, the Rabbeinu Ava Shlema, Zu Ava Rabba, Shekosov is Halech Lefanai Ve'heyet Tamim, Shalem Bi'ava, Afilu Notan Hashecha. And then he says, Kol Shekein B'mitzvah Zu Nitzrecha Yira, for Ava you need Yira, and I'm skipping, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, B'shvil Sha'az, Tia Nichlales Yira Be'ava, etc. So I think this idea of Yira, and especially Yira combined with Ava, which seem opposite, which together represent the full scope of Torah, but especially because they are opposite and seemingly therefore, you know, would have to compete, but in the world of Torah they really each one deepens and intensifies the other, and we really see them as two sides of the same coin. That, of course, is reflected in the Moadim, in Korbanos, in other mitzvos, etc. This idea of Yira, which is a kind of, you know, both leap of faith, but especially a certain attitude, a perspective of Hachna, of Batel Ritzoncha L'Ritzono, which leads to the capacity for Ava, and Ava Shein Tuli B'Davar kind of Ava, the Ava Azo that the Rambam speaks about in Perek Yudachos Tshuva. In a way, that is like the basis, not just of abstract theological belief, but of emuna in the sense of also defining one's purpose and one's life, and you know, setting aside one's sphakos for such. So that's number one. The second one is a more famous one. That appears in the Zohar in many places. Again, I'm not an expert, but I know that. And also is cited, you know, by the Gra and by Reb Chaim Mivolozhiner and Nefesh HaChaim and by the Baal HaTanya. All the people who quote Zohars all quote this a lot, and so does everybody else, including the Rav in Ish HaLacha. And that is the idea, Amar Rav Shimon, Bor E, Ba'Torah, Bara beha Torah bara Kodesh Baruch Hu esa ola, meaning not Bereishis bara Elokim esa Shemayim v'aretz, with Yiras Shemayim he created the rest. That's the linchpin for everything else. But Bereishis, right, means right b'shvil haTorah shenikra Reishis, right. The Torah is the blueprint, right. It is the basis of Brias Shemayim v'aretz. Ra batorah istakel baraisa, basically, right? Ubara, right? Istakel baraisa ubara alma. Maybe one of the most famous, or maybe the most famous, or well-known statement of the Zohar. So, shekasu vayetzlo amon, v'hu istakel bo pam shtaim shalosh arba pamim achakach omra achakach asa b'olacha, etc. So, of course, this idea is certainly a linchpin idea. And the question is, what does it mean? So, again, in the Perush here of the great-grandfather, he says, well, Ein lefarish be'uman ke'uman be'kliyum naso shehem shnei devarim, like you got the carpenter specs, you know, and then you built the, this is the carpenter specs, and then you build the building, or whatever the proper terminology is. That's not what it means. Ella yesh lomar, kavanaso shebara kodesh baruch hu isaolam baofen sheyisnaheg v'yiskayim rak al pi darkei haTorah v'hamitzvos. Lo kahomrim shedarkei haTorah v'achaim shalolam hazeh hey mitnagdim zeh lazeh. And then his inami is that every time a person is involved in koach hachidush and Talmud Torah, odei shlomar, shalafikach bar kadosh baruch hu sa'olam ha'idei koach ha'torah, sha'idei chidushei Torah ha'amitim yichad shu Yisrael, yagam kim nivroim rakiyim kadoshim bizar arakiyah. Another fascinating idea. But the basic idea is the idea that both the, in other words, instead of seeing halacha and the Torah as a mechanism to cope with the world, or to avoid kind of the pitfalls, you know, that might rob you of the ultimate reward, you know, seeing this as kind of like a scary test, you know, the prosdar, you know, which you need to get through to get to the real prize, and seeing Torah as like the best, you know, approach, you know, to doing that, what we're really saying is that the goal of the world is the Torah. The Sfarno kind of says this, both, actually, Sfarno's Akdama, the Bereisha speaks about again, the purpose being Avav Yira, interestingly enough, but he also talks, when he kept saying, when the Rosh Hashanah keeps saying, Vayar Lakim Kitov, Vayar Lakim Kitov, Sfarno says, it's not like, oh, he experienced it and he said, oh, pretty good. Then, he created things in such a way that they would, you know, be the telos, he doesn't use the word telos, the tachlis, right, of what he set about to create to begin with. So this idea, of course, is really like the linchpin idea of the Rav in Ish Halacha, which is that the Torah is not, you know, a coping mechanism or a pragmatic system, you know, to get through the world or to make the most out of it. But on the contrary, it's a blueprint. It's an a priori, a kind of like, he doesn't use this word, but I am, platonic kind of, you know, perfection of the world, which we try to approximate as much as possible. And that really is kind of the underpinning philosophically, or shkafically, of the world of Brisk. It's Derech HaLimud and also its thought. That's for another time. But the point is that this comment, the Stako Baraisa Bara Alma, you know, because it isn't just, oh, the way that, it's not just the blueprint, it's the blueprint, not coincidentally, because these values, the purpose of man is, right, to implement these values, to live them, and to internalize them. And that really establishes very clearly, you know, that's a kind of Bishvila Torah Shanikra Reishis, but in a very internal way. And that true, that too, explains why the Bria, as this blueprint and as reflection of it, highlights the purpose of Torah, the purpose of creation and Emunah. But I think there's a third element as well. And with that I finish. And that comes from the thought of Rav Shams Rafal Hirsch. Did I bring it here or not? Who says, no, maybe not. Thought I brought it. I did. Why is it, he discusses this question, why, not the Ramban and Rashi, why is it so important, you know, for the Torah to project specifically the idea of Yesh Me'ayin? So he explains, again, my words, but his thought, that it's not just because it's theologically or scientifically or historically true, which might be a sufficient reason, well, this is the way that the world was created, it's important to know that. And certainly, the idea of Yesh Me'ayin makes easier, I'm adding this, Kadmus Hashem, what the Rambam said in Pirush Mishnah. He doesn't talk about this at all, that part of it at all. But what he wants to explain is that Yesh Me'ayin is also a perspective, right, which really defines the mission of the world, Torah, and Klal Yisrael. And that had we philosophically decide, again, the Rambam doesn't seem to imply this, had we decided that Aristotle, you know, was compelling, and that there was an eternity of matter, even if there was still a creator, that would have redefined how we looked at the creator, the creation, the purpose of creation, man, his mission, and the Torah. It would have number one, stripped it of any kind of ideal, because you'd have to make the most of the material that predates it and pre-exists, etc., and that potentially limits it. It makes the volition, the bechira of the Rabbanu Shalom, and certainly by extension of man, and the capacity to strive and to create within the structure and the system, it makes all of that impossible. The opposing notion, referring to eternity of matter, has been the basis of pagan thinking right to this very day. It's a most shameful denial of all freedom of will in both God and man, and would undermine the very foundations of morality. If matter had antedated creation, the creator of the universe would not have been able to form a world that was absolutely good, but only the best world possible within the limitations of the material given into shape. And even God would have been unable to save the world from evil, physical or moral. Freedom would vanish from the earth, including its God, as well as the men who live upon it. This gloomy concept of God and the world and mankind is dispelled at the very outset with the very first word of the teaching of the Torah, namely that there is a Bereshis in time, and of course a second word, which is bara, which according to Ramban is a reference to Yesh Me'ayin. So the idea that a Bereshit, that Yesh Me'ayin, isn't just scientifically true, or doesn't just contribute to the emuna in the existence of the Rabbanu Shalom, or proper attitudes towards him, namely his being Kadmon, but really colors the whole perspective of what the Rabbanu Shalom, you know, his agenda is, and what Torah is, certainly can be the shar to emuna, and certainly bilado, as Ramban says, ein Torah kla. So I think in light of that, you know, just going back to the Rashi, you know, the role of Eretz Yisrael, the idea that there, you know, is a particular place for the Jewish people, and that there's a particular destiny for Klal Yisrael, and that Klal Yisrael is obligated to fight for that destiny. There's a certain perspective about history and about purpose, tachlis, of the world of halacha, Torah, the world of life itself. So perhaps, maybe I'm overreaching, it doesn't really matter at this point, but maybe even Rashi might tell you that it isn't just that, you know, koach masav higid li'amo, that, you know, establishing our connection to Eretz Yisrael and the notion that implies, everything that implies, especially about Hashgacha, using the Ramban, ironically, Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso, it isn't just that per se, it's what that reflects about the nature of our purpose in the world in a much bigger way. So, Koach Masav Higid Li'amo, as an example of Bereshis Bar Elokim, of the implications of Yesh Me'ayin, even override what otherwise may have been a very tempting beginning of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Okay, we'll stop here.